Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, kicking off the third hour of the program. Phones are open. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian,
Matt, and Bonnie.
We will continue and take your calls and thoughts about whatever you want to discuss. We've been talking about the crackdowns on various different products and services out there. Gas stoves are now under threat. We spent the first hour on that one. We're now getting into the attack, the continued assault by the federal government gang on cryptocurrency, its various different service providers and companies and that sort of thing. And the latest one is against companies called Genesis and Gemini. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is now charging these companies with offering an unregistered security to retail investors.
It seems like no one is safe because it's like Gemini is one of those that jumped through all the hoops to become government.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bonnie. Gemini was definitely a well-known cryptocurrency exchange. In fact, they, the Winklevoss twins, they were of the mindset of, yes, regulate us. They were one of those types of people. So, like, in the crypto world, there's the types of people that are, you know, of the viewpoint of, look, this is not even money. It's something different. It's code. It's crypto. It's computer code. It's free speech. Your regulations don't apply, right? Like, we are outside of your money system. This is something completely different. There's those people that are just like, look, we don't have to ask you for permission to make code. It's freedom of speech, etc. Right? So there's that viewpoint. And then there's the viewpoint of, well, that all may be true, but it's better if we get regulated, because then if we're regulated, then all these big companies will come on in and it'll make number go up. Right? So that's kind of like two of the viewpoints that are out there. And the Winklevoss twins are of that second viewpoint, even though they've been around basically from the beginning. They've been in crypto for as long as I can remember.
Have they?
Yeah, they go way back.
I didn't know that. I thought they were fairly new. I thought
didn't they help 14. Create Facebook?
Yes. That's what they're kind of known for or whatever. That's where they made, I think, some of their money. I don't know their whole back history or whatever. But they were the ones who, when they launched their Gemini exchange, at some point they started doing an advertising campaign in New York City, in Manhattan. They had, like, they bought a full-page ad in the New York Times, which ain't cheap. They bought, like, bus stop advertising, you know, like the full-size bus stop ads. They were buying, like, building ads where you get the whole building painted with an advertisement, like huge ads. They had them on the tops of taxi cabs. They were everywhere. And the point of their ad campaign was to talk about how regulated they were, about how crypto needs, what was it that it, I didn't look it up before, I was just talking about it here, but it was something to the effect of, like, crypto needs rules.
Oh, wow.
That was their whole, like, campaign slogan.
The problem with that is crypto, as a matter of its very nature, is rule resistant.
Sure. Like, because the rules can't stop it.
Right.
Well, it runs on its own rules. It just doesn't.
The rules
doesn't
of mathematics
to, yeah,
and
exactly.
Programming and cryptography, yeah.
It just doesn't have to. And because of that, it doesn't need other rules for people that don't know, you know, how it even works to begin with.
But that was the whole point of their campaign, was crypto needs rules. And then, you know, when you looked further, they would say that, oh, yeah, we believe in regulation. We want sensible regulation and blah, blah, blah. So they were like FTX. Like Bankman, who was the guy behind FTX, who was talking about regulation and how he needed regulation. Turns out he was a scam artist, yep. Allegedly, behind the scenes, taking people's money and doing whatever the F he wanted with that money. Now, Gemini wasn't doing the same thing, right? Like, they were more on the up and up. They were doing what was purportedly a legitimate lending program, right? So they would take in cryptocurrency, kind of like the Nexo and Celsius were purportedly, you know, legit. Whether they were or not remains to be seen. But the idea, at least, seems sound on its face, right? You loan us your Bitcoin or various other cryptos. You loan us your Bitcoin. We are going to invest it. And will some of those investments will be, we will loan it back out. We'll loan it out to other people who give us collateral. They'll give us cryptocurrency as collateral. We'll loan it out, right? I don't know if you've heard about these crypto-backed loans that are out there.
No, you can, I haven't.
Yeah, you can still get them from some other companies that haven't gone bust at this point. Whether they will or not is, again, this is a highly risky endeavor, by the way, for anybody that's considering doing this. You know, just keep in mind that your entire balance could go to zero.
Yeah, I would just pass on
if you do this. But the reason why people do it is because of the government regulations. So the government regulations say if you buy cryptocurrency at a lower price and sell the cryptocurrency at a higher price, they say you have to pay capital gains tax on that. Have you heard about that?
No.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say you're supposed to keep track of the amounts that you buy and the amounts at which they are, the prices at which they are when you buy them, so that way you know when you sell the whatever it is you're going to sell, whether or not you've quote-unquote made money.
Crypto's not capital.
Well, indeed, but that's what they say. I'm just saying what they say, right? And so people that want to not have to pay capital gains tax because they're super compliant types of people, well, they get attracted by these crypto loan outfits that say, hey, you don't have to pay capital gains on loans. So all you got to do if you want to turn your Bitcoin into dollars is give us 4 times the amount of Bitcoin or 5 times the amount of Bitcoin, and we'll give you that amount of dollars. Not the 5 times the amount, but the original amount, right? So if you want, you know, let's say Bitcoin right now is a little less than 20,000. Let's just call it 20,000. So Bitcoin's $20,000. Okay, you want to get one? You want to get $20,000? You have to give us 5 Bitcoin. So $100,000 worth of Bitcoin, and then we'll give you $20,000 worth of stable coins, which you can then take and convert to dollars and, you know, put a down payment on a house or something like
right.
that. Right. So that's why people are interested in these gotcha. Programs because it avoids the capital gains tax because you're not selling your Bitcoin. You're just getting a loan, a crypto collateral-based loan. And so that's what these guys were probably doing to some extent, this Gemini and this Genesis company together, was they're taking in loans from people and they're promising a payout. They're saying we'll pay you 5% or whatever APR, and then they're just charging the people they're loaning it 8% or 12 or whatever, right? So that's the business model, but it to some extent did have to do with, is the price going to go up over time? Because it sure would make it easier to pay out the, you know, the fees and such if the price is going up.
And with FTX, it's like the price is going down and they were actually investing it in stuff that they weren't even supposed to be.
They were lying to their customers. Yeah, yeah. They were scamming, essentially, their customer funds. So now the SEC is coming in and suing these guys, saying that you were offering a so-called unregistered security. According to the story here at theblock.co, when Gemini shut their program down, what they call Gemini Earn, the president, Cameron Winklevoss, blasted Genesis's parent company, Digital Currency Group, accusing Gemini's former lending partner of defrauding thousands of Earn users and misleading them regarding their solvency. Winklevoss also called for the ouster of their CEO, Barry Silbert. He denied, Silbert did, that funds were commingled among DCG subsidiaries, as Winklevoss claimed. So there's been this fight between these two companies, apparently. An SEC official said both companies were partners engaged in activity that constituted the offer and sale of securities without registering.
But Winklevoss thinks if he comes and calls them out first, then he won't get charged with it.
Well, they've all been hit with it now.
Hmm.
Apart from the fact
is
that
it a conspiracy?
No. These aren't criminal. This the SEC. I don't know. They may be able to bring criminal charges. I'm not sure about that. But the SEC, in every example we've talked about with regards to crypto, has been a civil case. So they're going to try to ruin these companies and make them pay millions of dollars to the SEC. Which, of course, does not go to their customers, by the way. When the SEC makes these companies pay millions of dollars in fines, that just goes into the bureaucracy. It goes to their lawyers. It doesn't go to, you know, make the people whole who got screwed by this company and the whole FTX scene. Let's see. They say that they are both liable, despite the fact that Genesis was the issuer of the securities. Both companies are liable. Quote, today's charges build on previous actions to make clear to the marketplace and the investing public that crypto lending platforms and other intermediaries need to comply with our time-tested securities laws, said the SEC chairman Gary Gensler. He said further, doing so best protects investors. It promotes trust in markets. It's not optional. It's the law. So, I don't know. I mean, even after all this time of talking about so-called securities, I still don't really understand, you know, what they are.
Exactly. Maybe that's on purpose.
Yeah, they're very confusing. The definition, the sort of the basic definition that you pull up, makes it sound like a stock, right? Like a stock is definitely a security.
Yeah, if you have a stake in something in any way, then that is a security.
Right, and that's the thing with like these things they're talking about here, this crypto lending platform, you don't own a piece of Gemini or Genesis.
That's why it's not a security.
Right. You are being told that you're going to get something in return for providing something, right? Like, you're just, this is just an arrangement.
Yeah.
This is just an agreement, a private agreement between parties, but the SEC believes that they get to get involved.
That's because the government is starting, the banking owns government.
Oh, yeah.
And the banking is starting to get very nervous about this whole crypto thing.
Good point.
And their little minions in government are going to say, and they will change definitions on a whim if it means that they're going to be able to get rid of this thing, at least stave off the death, is what they're trying to do. They're trying to
That's true. What's the bank account paying on interest these days?
Oh, who knows? Nothing.
It's less than a percent. Yeah, it's like a fraction of a fraction.
It's not even worth talking
about. A tenth of a percent or less.
Right. Yeah. And nobody, even in an investment account, people, I mean, CDs would be a better way to go, and CDs don't pay
garbage
anyway.
It's garbage.
You know, yeah. So,
I mean, I remember in the 80s when they were decent, but no, not anymore.
Right.
Right. So that's a great point. So this is definitely the banking industry coming after their hot competition.
Yeah.
Where these guys are like, yeah, we'll pay you 5%, 8%. I mean, 5% is like mind-blowing compared to a bank account. Now, of course, there's risks involved. And the banks are protected by the FDIC. So if anything goes wrong, then you're protected up to the government will print the money to pay you.
Maybe
back,
the government won't attack the business to, you know, make it go down so they have an excuse to regulate it.
What? Say that again, sorry.
I think that the government has been purposely making these crypto things go down.
The
price? Like FTX? No, the businesses.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, the FTX went down because they were allegedly scamming people and they, you know, they took money from people and invested it without their permission.
Yeah, but what if the people doing
crashed?
That the whole time, the SBF and everything, were just government people?
Well, there is a theory about that. That's sort of the conspiracy theory behind FTX, is that he was working with the, you know,
it was like
the Israeli
FTX
Mossad
was almost certainly a controlled demolition.
Yeah, good chance of it.
It could have been a controlled construction followed by a controlled demolition on purpose, for the very purpose of washing a ton of funny money from people like the Bidens or the Democratic National Party or anybody who wanted in, who was connected enough to get in. To get in and out scot-free.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Neil on the line in Arizona. Neil, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, guys, this is what I called you about, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, about cashing in Bitcoin and like $4.762 million worth of Bitcoin. If I cashed that in, I would only end up with just over $1 million in currency. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry. Ask me the question one more time.
If I were to cash in $4.76 million worth of Bitcoin and say, I want to cash this in U.S. currency, I would only end up with just over $1 million.
No, sir. You would get $4 million.
Or whatever somebody's willing to pay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't know why anybody would ever pay you $1 million for $4 million worth of something or $5 million. No, you hopefully get much better.
Yeah,
than
somebody
that.
Offers you $1 million for something worth $4 million. You say no, I'll take a different offer.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm totally misunderstanding what you guys are saying.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry that we didn't make this clear. So what's happening with the SEC is they're going after private companies who offered a loan program. where they were telling customers that if you deposited your Bitcoin or some other crypto with them, that they would pay, and I'm just pulling a number here out of thin air, 8% per year to those customers. And then they would loan that Bitcoin out purportedly to other people that needed a loan and charge probably a higher percentage on those loans so they could cover their costs. But
that's just one way that people can use their cryptocurrency to get dollars, but then they would end up getting the cryptocurrency back in the end, of the loan.
I see what you're confused about, Neil. You're confused about the sort of the crypto-backed loans where in order to get the loan, you have to give 4 times the amount to the loan operation. That's different than selling it. If you're going to sell your Bitcoin, then you get the market price for it. So if you have $4 million worth of Bitcoin and you sell it, you get approximately $4 million in your account. But if you're going to loan, if you want a loan based on your Bitcoin, then you're essentially getting a collateralized loan. And the loan houses aren't going to do a one-to-one loan. they're not going to take that kind of risk.
Yeah, they want to make money.
So you got to give them like 4 or 5 times the amount in order to get the other thing. Does that make any sense at all?
Well, yeah, actually. And I wanted to tell you one other thing.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like a kudos to you guys. I've been listening to you guys for probably at least 3 years.
Okay.
And it's only been within the last 6 months or so that I've really started enjoying your program more and more.
Wow. Okay. What changed?
I don't know. Maybe the fact that I'm getting older or you're getting better.
Well, I think the show's better in just the last 2 weeks than it's been in years, just with the new change with fewer breaks. So I'm glad you're enjoying it. I hope we were able to clear that up for you, Neil. Anything else you want to share?
No, that'll do, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Yeah, so the difference is, like, you know, you're a car guy, Matt. If you want to give somebody your car for collateral for a loan, there's a blue book value of whatever that car is worth. And let's just say it's on that value. It's, you know, $10,000 car, which would be a really, really expensive car. You're not going to get $10,000 for your collateral. You're going to get a fraction of it.
Yes.
Right? Because the car could go down in value or whatever, right? You just don't want to put yourself as the loan maker. You don't want to put yourself in a risky position more so than you're already risking by giving some stranger or whatever a loan.
Right.
So
plus you're stuck with a car.
Yeah.
It's going to sit there.
There's problems.
You
know, it takes up space. Yeah.
It takes up space. You got to worry about selling it if the loan goes sour.
Yeah, and you know you're not going to get the blue book value on the sale.
Right.
Right. So you got to take it at a lower value. So the same thing's true with the crypto. They want to build in a buffer. So if you're going to give somebody, you know, $10,000, they want $40,000 worth of crypto in order to hold on to that in the case of the crypto going down in value, for instance. And some of these loans, they'll trigger a sale. Most of them will.
Another thing is, if you just did a one-on-one loan, why wouldn't they just use the money that they already had to buy a Bitcoin and do with the Bitcoin what they wanted? They want to be able to do with the same amount of money that is worth one Bitcoin. They want to be able to do things with 4 different Bitcoins.
Sure. Yeah, they want to be able to loan out 4 times as much or whatever, right? And as we've seen, they've been doing things they weren't supposed to do. But the point here is the SEC isn't going to stop scam artists from doing this. Just because they register with the SEC as a security doesn't mean they're not going to take the money and run. It doesn't mean they're not going to rip off their customers. It doesn't mean they're not going to do the things that they say they're not going to do. Right? Like they're going to, if they make a promise and they break their promise, the government registration doesn't make any difference.
Right.
This is just a way for the SEC to play, you know, tough guy, come in and use the leverage of the state, the unlimited resources, the unlimited lawyers, the unlimited money to go after these people to scare companies into compliance, because that's what the government's all about. They're all about compliance. They want you to obey them and do everything that they demand of you, whatever arbitrary things they are, even if they don't apply. Even if it's bad for you, and even if their rules don't even really apply to you. They will interpret them as applying to you until you can challenge it all the way up to the Supreme Court and spend God knows how much money.
Mm-hmm. And then they might not even listen to the Supreme Court's findings.
Well, they don't have to. There's no obligation for them to. And if they don't listen to the Supreme Court's findings, then you have to challenge it again all the way to the Supreme Court. So Tyler Winklevoss, who's a co-founder of Gemini, said he was disappointed in the SEC's action since Gemini and other creditors are working to recover funds. He says, This action does nothing to further our efforts and help EARN users get their assets back. Their behavior is totally counterproductive. And he's absolutely right about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he should... I hope he can learn a lesson from this.
I hate the clammy softball language that comes out of these people. They'll never come back and say government is trash
yeah.
and we should all abandon it immediately.
Right.
Nope. Which would be the intellectually honest thing to say.
It would be honest for him to say, you know what, we talked about regulations for years. We believed in regulations and this is what happened to us. Screw these guys.
Yep.
You know, we made a mistake. We're sorry for advertising. Crypto should need rules because this is ridiculous. But he is right, though, that the SEC, and they likely will be successful, if they are successful, and they are probably will, so far they won the library case, and they've settled in these other cases against the crypto companies. The Ripple case is still open. That one.
I wonder if he cared at all when they went up after library or
nope,
Ripple.
Probably not. People don't care until it affects them.
And he probably also thinks that even if the SEC is doing this now, like, oh, someone else in charge of the SEC could do it more fair.
Could very well be. And they may indeed try to lobby to change out the head of the SEC, thinking that will protect them. But he's right. This isn't going to help the users. I mean, that's what the SEC chairman is always talking about. Well, we're here to protect the American people. We're protecting the marketplace. Our rules are important for safety and protection. It's like, well, these people have their funds frozen right now. And the only chance that they're going to have to get their money back is if these companies stay in business. And now the SEC's coming in and saying, oh, yeah, we heard you guys were having financial troubles. Here's some more. We're suing you now.
Yep.
And you're going to have to pay for lawyers, and you're going to be tied up in court for years, and then finally you're probably going to lose, and then we're going to put you out of business. That's going to help your customers.
Yeah, but again, it's not about protecting the American people at
no.
all. It's about protecting the banks.
Yeah.
The heads of these, not just the heads, like everybody who works for an alphabet agency in some way or another is literally, especially the financially related ones, the SEC especially, literally just a banking puppet.
Sure.
Puppets of central banking.
Oh, yeah. And wasn't Gensler connected to the lady with FTX?
Oh,
he her dad's, like, boss at one
there
point?
There was a lot of really, really close.
Carolyn Ellison?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Things that make you go,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. No, it's easier just to shout conspiracy theorists at people and walk away feeling very proud of your one argument.
The final comment here from Winklevoss was he added that the EARN program was regulated by New York State, and they had been in discussions with the SEC about the EARN program for more than 17 months. So again, these guys were like regulate me types. Mm-hmm. These guys were calling from the rooftops,
yep.
literally with a multi-million dollar ad campaign talking about, oh, regulations are good. We love regulators. Let's call up the SEC and tell them how we want to do whatever they want us to do. Didn't help. Quote, despite these ongoing conversations, the SEC chose to announce their lawsuit to the press before notifying us. Super lame, he says.
Super lame.
You should have known that in advance.
Yeah.
The number 603-283-6160. It's hard to feel sorry for the Winklevoss twins, but their customers, they're getting the raw end of the deal on this. It's Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA News Update. Attorney General Merrick Garland appointing a special counsel to oversee the investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents. Robert Hur taking on the role after serving as U.S. Attorney for the District of Maryland during the Trump administration.
As U.S. Attorney, he supervised some of the department's more important national security, public corruption, and other high-profile matters.
The announcement comes after Biden's team discovered an additional batch of records at Biden's Delaware home. Republican leadership in the U.S. House does not intend to force an embattled party member to resign over his fudged record on the campaign trail. However, that does not mean all Republicans are holding fire against New York Republican George Santos.
It is a problem for us in Congress because the American people, they don't trust anybody. They think all politicians lie, and there are good guys among us who are trying to do the right thing.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Join us here. Bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. As mentioned earlier, I am facing a guilty finding by a jury. Sadly, 3 weeks ago in the Crypto 6 case. We're going to appeal it. So, you know, we're not happy about it, obviously. But it still doesn't mean that I can't avoid sentencing. So sentencing is coming up in 3 months, basically, at this point. It's going to be April 14th. And if you
right
want to...
the day before tax day.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
If you want to help me out, possibly. You know, it is up to the judge. There's no minimum sentence here for these counts, thankfully. So in theory, he could sentence me to time served with some probation or something like that. And that would be nice because then I'd get to keep doing Free Talk Live and not have to go back to jail. But it's going to be up to him. So if you want to help us, you can write a letter. And if you have some sort of... if you have some sort of history that might give your opinion weight with the government judge, like maybe you were in the military or whatever, right? You want to mention that about yourself when you write the letter. Talk a little bit about yourself and why you think that I shouldn't go to jail and why you think that I've helped you or helped the community in general. You can get instructions and the address to send it to just by going to letters.freetalklive.com. That's letters.freetalklive.com. Certainly appreciate it. Let's talk to Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yes. So did I hear that you're going to go to jail because of cryptocurrency since that other billion-dollar guy is going to jail?
Well,
hooked up to
Well, I mean, hopefully I won't.
No, he's
have
not
to go
hooked up to SBF. She asked if you're somehow hooked up to that other billion.
No, there's no relation, but that doesn't mean that the jury wasn't confused by that and that that didn't play a role in their decision to come down on me with the all guilty finding. But it's not quote unquote because of cryptocurrency. It's, as Matt pointed out, because of the banks. It's because the banking system is feeling scared about their future, knowing the potential for what cryptocurrency could be possibly helping people do, which is, of course, protect their value from the dollar constantly being inflated or the world currencies being inflated. And, of course, as we're seeing now with the prices of things going up, it's cryptocurrency is a solution to this. And they don't like that. They don't like the idea that you can do something without having to ask permission, that you can engage yourself in protecting yourself financially without using them. So that's what this
is
about.
Completely. It's just very baffling. But
how did you hear that?
Called,
were you on hold? Is that?
I was just listening to you on hold. About, you were telling me that you were going to go to jail and all of that. So I was like, what?
Well, I already went to jail. I went to jail last year for 69 days. Or sorry, last year? No, 2021. Sorry, it's been almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow. 2021 for 69 days when they arrested me after raiding my house and four other locations all simultaneously. Six of me and five of my other close friends were arrested in this situation, Sarah. It's called the Crypto Six. And if you actually listened to the show, you probably would have known something about that before tonight.
No, I think I heard something about it, but overall, you're a nice guy.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
I can't believe that you're going to be put in, but I don't think you're a malicious person.
No, definitely not.
Put people that, like, shoot people, stab people, assault people. I mean, I don't know.
Sounds like you're qualified to write a letter to the judge, Sarah.
Absolutely.
So, hey, we were talking about something earlier, and I was curious about how you feel about it. Have you heard about this gas stove ban?
I kind of heard about it, and I was just, I couldn't fathom what's behind all of this. It's like, well, why is it all of a sudden, is it, what's wrong with it? Why do they want to ban this? Is it an environmental issue? I mean, there has to be some reason.
No, they're just claiming somebody got sick or whatever, that there's supposedly some sort of, I don't know what it is, something that comes off from the stove that they allege may be causing some health problems for children or something like that.
How can they prove it? Is it some kind of odor?
Science!
Somebody said, some quote-unquote scientists have made claims that this might be dangerous for children with asthma or something like that.
Trust the science!
You know how studies can show whatever their financial backers want them to show.
That's true. Absolutely. But, in this case, the financial backers are the quote-unquote green energy people.
Electric people.
Are they going to ban it from the restaurants or homes?
Well, that's the thing.
That's
what they're talking about. They haven't done it yet, but they are now proposing a ban on gas stoves in the United States. And if not a ban, then it may be new regulations that will require who knows what other equipment to be thrown into the guts of these stoves that will increase the cost of the stoves. And
I want to know what they're going to do about the Amish. The Amish run stuff. The Amish run their refrigeration on propane. They run their lamps on propane and stuff. Yeah, so
Sarah, do you
think that this would make sense if they could back it up? Kind of, if there's a solid reason. I mean,
there is
solid
reason.
If it goes into effect and it doesn't make much difference in 10, 15 years, people are going to just go back to the gas stove. I really don't know too much about it to have an opinion, you know?
Okay.
But
do you have a gas stove?
I just got an electric stove.
Okay. Well, they're probably not going to arrest you.
The thing is that I love cooking on gas stove because you can't heat up a wok, cook things properly.
That's right.
Without a gas stove, like do stir fries or like, you have to cook a lot of products, in a hot temperature to get the right flavor and coating.
See, Sarah's stuff. Like
I knew she was going to hit this one out of the park, though.
She likes food.
Every now and then, Sarah gets it right, and it's fun to agree with you from time to time, Sarah.
Yeah, I didn't know that you liked to cook, Sarah.
I love to cook, and you can't get the fried rice and stuff like that. You got to heat up that wok really hot. There's a lot of stuff that...
Are you good at doing Asian cooking? I know you told us that your grandma's Korean. Do you have, like, good at the Asian food?
No, but I know that even just, even if it's not a wok, if you want to fry things, you got to have, like, a high temperature. It's, like, it's best to cook with a gas stove.
Yeah, yeah, because an electric burner will just put all the heat right on the bottom of the pan, not up around the sides like fire will.
Mm. Mm. That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know how the cooking, all the cooks and everybody else and the restaurants are going to fight back with this, you know, because they're going to try.
Yeah, they're going to try. Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Appreciate hearing from you.
Well, I've never heard Sarah say that people should, you know, fight back against government regulations.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah.
But when it has to do with her walk, apparently.
Let's go to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, hey, Bonnie, when did you transition?
Huh?
What does that mean?
Well, you said to a millennial soy boy, you had said earlier something about if you brought some girl named Barbie home, you wouldn't know what to do with her.
That's weird.
I don't know what I would do with her.
That is weird. Everybody knows what to do if you bring a girl named Barbie home.
All right, David. What else were you calling about tonight?
How many girls are named Barbara anymore anyway?
Yeah, there's still some, probably.
I do like the nickname Barbie, though.
Go ahead, David.
Barbara. The gas thing, actually, I don't know what people who live off-grid are going to do, because, like, right now, what keeps the place warm here is one of those freestanding Mr. Heater propane stove, gas, mm-hmm. But for heat, it's not for cooking. And that's running to keep the room warm.
Right. If they ban gas stoves, are they going to ban gas everything after that? I mean, because if it's a danger to run a gas stove, wouldn't it be a danger to run any kind of propane-based heat?
Oh, you know what I thought? What if this is all retaliation for that Twitch channel that was just playing a gas stove the whole time in Russia?
The Russian gas stove where the guy was, put the price per liter or whatever of the propane up or the natural gas.
Familiar with that.
Oh, you didn't hear about this?
No.
Yeah, it was a 24-hour burner on a gas stove that was just running 24 hours
of
video.
Yeah.
A video of this. It's probably up right now.
He was taunting the Germans, I believe.
Yeah, the Europeans.
Yeah. Let me add another question. I've never heard anybody else pose this proposition. And what I think, though, is this attempt to ban propane and natural gas cooking and heating. I think that it's actually not anything to do with the health. That's just a guise to get you to switch more and more and more to electric, just like they want the vehicles to go to electric. So that they can not only cut off your transportation, they can cut off your heating and cooking.
Yep,
I think so too.
I think a lot of people believe that. Thank you for the call tonight, David. Appreciate it. Let's continue here. Caller, you are on the air on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Jim from Daytona Beach.
Jim, thanks for the call. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi. I want to follow up on what Bonnie told me about. I asked you to give me an example of libertarianism successful. And she gave me that old thing from Ireland. Could I talk to her about that?
She's right here.
Yeah, I forget what they're called. Starts with a T.
Two offs.
Thank you.
Bonnie, that's 500 years ago. Do you have any example sooner than that, please?
Well,
I'm sorry, honey. Honey, you accused me of not following your instructions. I didn't do it. Can you forgive me?
I don't know what he's talking about, but how would I have an example of libertarianism working when it doesn't get tried? There's only gangs that claim to own the land masses around the world, and people just continue living under them. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe I could give you an example of libertarianism working, as in the people in the Free State Project and their agorist, community sales and things like that.
You say free state. Give me a city. Give us a city. Give us a county.
If it was a city, it wouldn't be libertarian, because it would be a fake corporation claiming to be the city of blank having ownership over people. So I don't know what your question is. I don't think you understand what, like, being a libertarian is.
Well, give me an example of something working. less than 500 years old. And
what's the deal with 500 years? Who cares if it's 500 years? People were people 500 years ago. They're still people now.
Girl, you guys, why don't you get a city going libertarian? Get a county there.
I would rather dismantle all the cities in New Hampshire first.
Not interested in having governments claiming to represent us.
What you can do, caller, is that you can look at different examples in specific areas where it's quite clear how liberty works, how having fewer regulations allows for more freedom, that allows for better economics. You can look at, for instance, the countries that have the lowest economic regulations tend to have the highest prosperity. You can look at when you prohibit a product that it goes underground, so like the war on drugs, of course.
You could read the book Counter Economics, I think it's called, by Samuel Konkin, and it gives example after example after example. Thousands of examples of when the government of an area closes off a market or tells people they can't trade, they just do it anyway, and they're way better off because of it than they would be if they just, you know, stood in food lines all day.
One of the freest, one of the most prosperous times, probably the most prosperous time in human history, was the first half of the United States before Reconstruction. You had more people coming out of poverty and coming into employment and business and entrepreneurship and building little empires of their own.
And virtually no regulation.
And it was virtually unregulated for the first 100 years of the United States. And it only started to slip when the government became more powerful after Reconstruction and started imposing different rules on
income
everybody.
Tax.
Oh, taxes.
Federal Reserve notes.
And all kinds of regulation and you know.
So history is replete with these examples of how freedom works and regulation and control and government arbitrary rules and government monopolies and oligopolies do not work well.
Right.
They make things worse. So the libertarians simply propose that we do that as a society and adopt those concepts, adopt the concepts of individual freedom. So the fact is, as Bonnie points out, that has yet to be tried in recent generations. We think it should be tried. And no, unfortunately, we cannot just take over a county because political systems don't work that way. That's why the Free State Project is targeting an entire state, because we have to be able to, and we can't just take that over. We have to convince our neighbors that this is a good idea, right? We have to persuade people. But the New Hampshire is chosen because it's the best place to have that happen. It's the best place where people already have a freedom-oriented mindset, where they're more likely to support independence and freedom. And so we're working on that. And that's the answer to your question from my perspective.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. All right, so the number here is 603-283-6160. But there's plenty of examples of communism, by the way, that we can point to in the past. And look how just miserably
it quickly falls on its face. It quickly. And it doesn't go away just because it fails. They stick with it, and it gets grinding, and people suffer en masse. It's just, you know.
Didn't the Tua thing, was it Ireland or Iceland?
Ireland.
Ireland. Didn't that fail because some king just came in and just destroyed them, basically?
Yeah, the English came in.
Yeah. So, like, it wasn't a failure of the system, quote unquote. It was just might makes right in that case, and they got crushed.
Yep.
So, and then, of course, that's what people say. Oh, if you try that today, then the U.S. government will just nuke you or roll in tanks or whatever.
And the question there is, okay, will you join us in understanding that they are not for our benefit? If they're willing to just roll in and crush people, that's not the type of people you should want representing you, or you shouldn't be having the we conversation when you're talking about the United States anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we went over there and we kicked their butts. No, we didn't.
Government is just a group of people. They're a group of goons, tyrants, despots, parasites, thugs, mafia, idiots, liars, thieves, lunatics, killers, and gang members.
Indeed.
Amen.
Speaking of those thugs and gang members, there was a big headline this week that, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday, so we didn't get to talk about it. But did you hear about the airlines getting grounded?
What was that all about, anyway?
I hope it's a white hat hacker.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a fat chance to me.
It's a good hacker.
No, I think that you're more likely what's it? Is it Occam's Razor the most likely explanation? Yeah. is the one or something? I'm sure I'm misstating that to some extent, but what's more likely is that the government just sucks at doing air traffic control, because that's who runs the air traffic control system is the government. And as it turns out, that's exactly what happened here. According to the AP, thousands of flights were canceled or delayed Wednesday after a system that offers safety information to pilots failed, and the government launched an investigation into the breakdown, which grounded some planes for hours. The Federal Aviation Administration said preliminary indications traced the outage to a damaged database file. The agency said it would take steps to avoid another similar disruption. The breakdown showed how much American air travel depends on the computer system that generates alerts called NOTAMs, or Notice to Air Missions. Before a flight takes off, pilots and airline dispatchers must review the notices, which include details about bad weather, runway closures, or other temporary factors that could affect the flight. The system was once telephone-based, but moved online years ago. That system broke down late Tuesday and was not fixed until mid-morning on Wednesday. The FAA took the rare step of preventing any planes from taking off for a time, and the cascading chaos led to more than 1,300 flight cancellations and 9,000 delays by early evening on the East Coast. Then, let's see here, after the failures were fixed...
I want to take something back. I didn't know this was affecting private people. I thought that when you told me this, about this story, that it was only, like, government... flights for some reason.
No, this was everyone that was in an airport was affected by this, because they literally grounded every single flight. And interestingly,
yeah, I wouldn't want a hacker to do that. It wouldn't be a really good thing to do.
This story has been updated, because the last time I looked at it, it used the word antiquated to describe this NOTAM system.
Wow.
And okay, it does mention here, this is according to Tim Campbell, the former senior vice president of air operations at the American Airlines. He says there's long been concern about the FAA's technology and not just the NOTAM system. He says many of these systems are, quote, old mainframe systems that are generally reliable, but they are out of date. And the word antiquated was used. So I went and I looked to see, you know, how old is this system? Because we've heard about yes, the IRS. The IRS is still using an old mainframe system to do its computing of whatever it is they're doing behind the scenes that has been in place for something like 50 years.
Wow. Yeah, when you hear the word mainframe, you know you're getting into
it's
some dinosaur
old
stuff.
Yeah, they got the dot matrix printer, you know, going...
Whoa, yeah.
Right? That's the level of technology that we're talking about.
What do
you
even get paper for?
Monochrome monitors and things like that,
right? Are the dot matrix printers the ones where they have the holes in the side?
That's the one.
I used to have to use that at a hotel. They had a really old printer that did one little thing a night.
No, you can't blame industry when they do this, right? It's like, you only upgrade when a thing breaks. You know, that's just the way industry handles it. If the dot matrix printer's working, we'll just buy the cartridges and we'll just deal with it because it's fine, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it is the rule. But when you have a system that is literally the central hub for every single flight across the United States, and if it goes down, all air travel... is going, like, oh no, we can't possibly look and see what's going on. We can't take the temperature to find out what the weather is. We can't do anything locally. We have to rely on the feds. It's an absurd claim that we need to have some federal agency.
That's an awful idea.
Make these decisions for individual flight towers or whatever, the traffic controllers.
Hey, can I get some government in my healthcare, please?
Yeah, because it makes everything better.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, so I tried to look. I was like, all right, well, how long has this NOTAM system been in place? And without digging too deep for hours or whatever, I looked in for a little bit. It's decades. This system has been in place for at least multiple decades. So I'm going to guess 30, 40, 50 years as well.
Jesus.
This has been around forever. It's a mainframe computer system. It is ancient, and it's what you know, that's what happened this week.
It's a good thing we pay insane taxes in this country because it goes to fix stuff like that. What will we do with the government?
Well, that's the other thing is like the IRS. I bet the NOTAM has a similar story, but the IRS, there's a long story about their computer system that's been around for 50 plus years that just keeps getting sort of patched and like just trying to keep this thing running. They've spent billions of dollars over all of these years trying to upgrade this system and failing.
Leave that thing a piece of junk.
Yeah. So, I mean,
these government agencies should be as hobbled as we can make them.
Right.
Why do they have issues updating it? That's what I don't understand.
They suck. I mean, they're bureaucracy. Anytime you put a government on a task,
but why can't they hire not sucky people to do it?
Because those people go to the private sector.
Well, they charge so much money for what they're doing, and then they realize they can keep charging money. It's like, oh, looks like this is going to be more complicated than we thought. Mm-hmm. We're going to need another $100 million and another 10 years before we can fix this problem.
Oh, the contractors would do that because the government will just give them as much money as they want. Yeah, that's a good point.
And then if you don't take the same contractor, then you got to bring another contractor in. Well, and they don't know how the system works, so now they got to figure out how the system works.
Learn it all from get-go.
And then they're going to give you a quote, and then they're going to get paid through the nose. So, according to the story here at the AP, pilots and safety officials have complained about these NOTAMs for years, saying there are too many of them, and some are, shocking, unnecessary, and written in cryptic abbreviations. So even the system itself, when it is working, it's just garbage, and it's pissing off the pilots. Yes. Like, we can't even read this stuff.
You know what I want on my plane? I want a pissed-off pilot on my plane.
You can't read those safety warnings.
Right. Yes, for safety, but you can't understand what it says.
Oh my God, this just reminded me of, like, airplane.
Right? Except this is reality, and there's actually, like, people's lives involved here.
They have an autopilot. An auto.
The autopilot. The National Transportation Safety Board highlighted the large number of notices in its investigation of a near disaster in 2017 in San Francisco. An Air Canada jet whose pilots had overlooked a NOTAM about a closed runway nearly landed by mistake on a parallel taxiway. They skimmed just over the tops of four other airliners waiting to take off.
Jesus.
Because, I don't know, why would they do that? How... Like, even if you're, like, just reading the NOTAMs, aren't you looking out the window? Can't you see that there's planes right there? I don't know. I'm not a pilot, so I can't speak to it. The safety board's chairman at the time said the closed runways was mentioned on the 8th of 27 pages of notices for the San Francisco airport.
God.
And was written in an arcane fashion. Quote, that's not what NOTAMs are. They are a bunch of garbage that no one pays any attention to. Oh, but if you don't have the system, we have to shut all the flights down, even though no one pays attention.
Use that stuff.
So stupid.
And they use it to send out the alert that the runways are closed.
See you tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, needs a try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC. Great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.